Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. It says this, "Pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall." Whew. Ouch. Let's say that together. Pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:8. I want you to make sure to take a picture, write it down, whatever you got to do. Check your Facebook page, and let's get this in our hearts so that we can come next week and share that and get our name in the drawing there. And then I think we're coming up on our next drawing, so you want to get that in there. And this is a great verse also just to keep us grounded, because how many of you like to fall? Anybody like to? You like to fall, Edwin? You love falling? You love falling? Then let's walk out here in the parking lot, and we're going to let you fall on your face in the parking lot. You know, it's not a fun thing, and we can steer away from that when we let the Word of God in our hearts. So, kids, fifth grade and under, if you would, you can head on back with Pastor Rachel. You guys have a really, really cool craft this morning, too. I want to see them when you guys are done with them. So I saw Pastor Rachel playing with it last night. So, hey, for the rest of us, if you have a Bible, I want you to go ahead and open that up to 2 Kings chapter 5. I was telling them during pre-service prayer, I said, there must be something about this time of the year that has me thinking an awful lot about trusting God more so than others. Because the last 3 years, right about this time, when I look back at my timeline of things and messages that I've given, I always seem to do one on trusting God even when it doesn't make sense at this time of the year. The last 2 years I've done it, and it came this year. I don't go back and look at things necessarily all the time before I do it. It just had to pop up that way. The good thing is on this, it's been three different passages as well. And as I was going through this and I was looking, this is actually a passage that we're going to talk about this morning that's from our Life Journal reading this week. And as I began to take a look at different things, I kind of got a little aggravated. And I got aggravated because the story here in 2 Kings is the story of Naaman. And Naaman, and he gets healed and hears a word from the Lord, and we'll read through it. But as I was looking up things about this and trying to help find my PowerPoint stuff and all, the only thing I could ever find was like these kiddie videos and things of that nature. And I got a little bit annoyed because there's so many great stories in the Bible that I don't think have ever been preached or never talked about from a pulpit because they're thought of as kids' stories. And yet those kids' stories have some of the greatest aspects of faith, some of the biggest things that we encounter as adults, and ways to step through and navigate through those. And so my aggravation didn't come in the story with the Word of God, but it came from how we as the church as a whole have portrayed this as, oh, well, that's just a kid's story. Well, if I recall looking in the New Testament, Jesus says, don't prevent the little kids from coming to me. And so maybe we need to return to a youthfulness ourselves. So this morning isn't going to be some overly deep theological, really deep-seated thing that's just going to wow your mind. But my hope and my heart and my prayer this morning is that it's going to be something that we can come to as kids, that we can really get an enjoyment from what the stories and the Word of God has to say to us. Zeke's got this Bible that we bought him years ago. He was really, at one point when he was younger, into comic books an awful lot. He still is, but it's when he first started. And it's called the Action Bible. And if you've never seen one, it's actually an illustrated Bible that looks like a comic book. And it was actually illustrated by those who did Marvel Comics. So it's really, really high end. And I remember Zeke, when he was younger, he would come to us and he could tell us anything, any story. He's telling us some of the most obscure stories, you know, about this guy hanging from a tree that had been gutted open. And I'm like, no, kid, you're nuts. That is not in there. He's like, yeah, Dad, here. And he shows me. And I'm like, whoa, that's really in there. And that's sometimes, I think, what we don't understand is that, you know, the Bible is the all-time bestseller. This. You're not going to see that on the news. This is the greatest story ever written, the greatest story ever told. How many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ? Great, great, great movie. I remember seeing it in the theater when it first came out, took my roommate from college and a coworker, and I sat in the theater and bawled my head off. I still am yet to sit there and watch as they're driving the spikes in Jesus' hands and feet. I could not watch it. When they took the cat of nine tails and they're beating him with that, and those bones are sticking in his flesh and ripping it, I couldn't bear to watch that. And even as greatly as they have depicted that, it doesn't tell the story like this does. No matter what depiction I've ever seen, they can't grasp everything as it's written here. Because we get the greatest things when we get to read this. This is God speaking directly to us. I know I sound like a broken record when I say this, but I cannot get over one of my greatest things, and I think the biggest thing that I could ever teach anyone is how to hear from God. And so people have often asked me, I just don't hear from Him. I just don't know. I can't hear from God. And so I ask Him, what does He sound like? Because we think, you know, you read, you know, the story of Abraham. He's sitting there and all of a sudden there's this voice that comes. And so we think there's some booming voice. James Earl Jones, yes. Charlton Heston as he's sitting there, you know. But it's not. He sounds like His Word. And so when we open this up and we spend that time, that's Him speaking to us. And then there's times where you'll be out in the midst of doing things and the Spirit of God will speak something in your heart. Well, how do I know if that's God? Because it sounds like His Word. Yeah, but and sometimes it's just some pretty crazy off-the-wall stuff. Yeah, when we read this, we understand that it doesn't always make earthly logical sense. Can I give you one good example before we read our story? Oh, about 7-8 years ago, God shoots me straight up in bed and tells me, hey, listen, you're going to go to Winchester, Kentucky and plant a church. No stinking way. It makes no sense to my head. It still to this day doesn't make sense to my head. You know? But I had to go to this. And I can still tell you the exact spots and the parts of the Word where as I was in that the Lord began to speak it and it came off the page. Because if you didn't know this, I'm a little hard-headed. And I usually don't just take the very first thing. I want to push back a little bit. And I'm one that I wanted somebody to write it out on the wall. Okay? Big nice. I even had somebody tell me straight up. They looked at me and said, hey, my wife and I have been praying for you and Rachel for a long time, and we knew that you would be the next pastors in Winchester, Kentucky. And I still didn't want to believe it until the Lord sent me to a passage, and it was literally like the writing on the wall letting me know exactly what it was. See, it's this word of the Lord that is needed for us to be able to step out, because then it gives us a confidence that no matter what we do, we know that the Lord has said it. So that's why I am so emphatic about this. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 5, because we're going to see a story, and I think we're going to find, some of us will find ourselves throughout this story at different times. 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 1. Here it says, Naaman, commander of the army for the king of Aram, was a great man in his master's sight, and a highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was a brave warrior, but he had a skin disease. Aram had gone on raids and brought back from the land of Israel a young girl who served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, If only my master would go to the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease. So Naaman went and told his master what the girl from the land of Israel had said. Therefore, the king of Aram said, Go and I will send a letter with you to the king of Israel. So he went and took with him 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, and it read, When this letter comes to you, note that I have sent you my servant Naaman for you to cure him of his skin disease. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and asked, Am I God, killing and giving life, that this man expects me to cure a man of his skin disease? Think it over, and you will see that he is only picking a fight with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel tore his clothes, he sent a message to the king. Why have you torn your clothes? Have him come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Then Elisha sent him a messenger who said, Go wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean. But Naaman got angry and left, saying, I was telling myself, he will surely come out and stand and call on the name of Yahweh his God, and will wave his hand over the spot and cure the skin disease. Aren't Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and left in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more should you do it when he tells you, Wash and be clean? So Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times according to the command of the man of God. Then his skin was restored and became like the skin of a small boy, and he was clean. Then Naaman and his whole company went back to the man of God, stood before him, and declared, I know there's no God in the whole world except in Israel. Therefore, please accept a gift from your servant. But Elisha said, As the Lord lives, I stand before him. I will not accept it. Naaman urged him to accept it, but he refused. Naaman responded, If not, please let your servant be given as much soil as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will no longer offer a burnt offering or a sacrifice to any other god but Yahweh. I'm trying to remember how far I went. Okay. However, in a particular matter, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master, the king of Aram, goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship, and as I, as his right-hand man, bow in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord pardon your servant in this matter. So he said to him, Go in peace. This is a great story because as I read through this, I see so many different areas of myself. I see so many different ways that we tend as people to approach situations. Here's this great warrior, this great man who's done amazing things and has conquered all kinds of, has won all kinds of different battles, and yet he has a skin disease. That really said something to me, because a lot of the times we want to try and disqualify ourselves from things because, well, I have this or I have that, or I can't do this or I can't do that. And in this time, a skin disease that he had, it was leprosy. And leprosy was one of these incurable diseases. And to be a leper, you were one that was typically, and a lot of times when it got bad enough, you were banished away to a leper colony. And in some instances, if you would go walking down the street, they would yell out, "Leper! Leper!" Because you were less than others in society. Sounds awful familiar to other things. We may not yell down the road, "Leper, leper," but we do that with socioeconomic classes, races, genders, different things all the time. But here, this man, he was very successful in what he was doing. And so in one of those raids, there had been a young girl that they brought back. And it worked for Naaman's wife. And I want you to notice what it was that this young girl says to Naaman's wife. There in verse 3, she said to her mistress, "If only my master would go to the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease." A young servant girl bringing a word to this great warrior. There's something to that as well. It didn't matter significance, but understanding who the Lord was, what he had done, what he could accomplish, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, status or anything, the word of the Lord is greater than all of that. And so she shares that with him, and it goes on to where, you know, the king says, "Yes, let me send this." And so what does he do? He sends a letter. Because a letter from the king means, hey, something's going to happen. And not only that, but he sends a lot of money, right? There's a whole lot of change right there. And he sends them on. Well, when he gets to Israel, and the king of Israel gets that letter, he reads it, he gets really irate. Who does this guy think he is? And who does he think I am? And you notice it says that he tore his clothes. What would it be like if every time we got mad, we tore our clothes? Yeah, Laura's saying it'd be expensive, all right? But here's what it also would mean, is that when Jeff gets mad and he's tearing his clothes and I walk up, I'm like, "Oh, Jeff's mad. Let's walk over here," right? It would expose those things. And he really is enraged at this. Well, the prophet Elisha, which if you haven't read about Elisha and Elijah, it's a great story. One of my favorite things to preach on is that mantle being passed, but that's a different day. It's so much fun. Elisha is this man of God who had picked up the mantle from one of the greatest prophets that they had heard. And he hears about this and he tells the king, he said, "King, dude, why are you ripping your clothes? Why are you getting all angry? Let him come. Bring him on, and then he'll know that there's a prophet in Israel." And so he lets him come, but Elisha doesn't go out and talk to him. He sends his servant out and says, "Listen, here's what you need to do. You need to go down to the Jordan, and you need to dip 7 times. And he turns and walks in. Well, Naaman loses his mind. What? I came all this way, I brought all this money, I brought my letter, and he's not even going to walk out here and talk to me? I expected him to come out and him to lay his hands on me or wave it, and my disease go like this. Now he's telling me I've got to go do something?" Heaven forbid we have to take a step somewhere. And so his servants, and I believe it's even one of his kids, because he says, "My father." Listen, if he'd have told you to do something great, if he'd have told you to stand up in front of the church and stand there with your arms up so everybody could see, you'd have done it. No, it doesn't say that, but you get my point. If he'd asked you to do something great, you'd have done it. So why shouldn't you go and do this thing that the prophet of the Lord says? Yeah, but we've got better rivers back in our area. Why do I have to go to theirs? Just go do what he says. So he goes down. And I watched this video that I saw on this, and it was like he tests the waters. Ah. The Jordan is not the nicest, cleanest of... Yeah. I've never been there. I've heard stories. Alice Faye and Jeff could give us a better depiction of that. They've been there. But everything I've ever seen is it's a pretty nasty, dirty-looking river. And so he's, like, testing it, like, real hesitant. And then he finally goes down. And he dips seven times. When he comes up, he has the skin condition is completely healed. So he goes back with his entourage to Elisha. And he's like, man, this is great. Oh, this is amazing. Please accept this gift. And the prophet of God says, no. I cannot accept this. And he tries again. No, let me have this. No, this is not something that I've done. This is what God has done. And then Naaman's response, you know, then when I go to worship, would you let it be known to where I'm okay for not, for basically trying to buy this? And Elisha tells him, go on and go in peace. So there's so many things going on here. It's a great, great story. And I don't know why we relegate this story to just teaching to our kids. Because even in that depiction, reading it and then going back through it, several of us saw ourselves, or as we often do in church, man, I know somebody just like that. Right? Man, Todd, I could see Todd doing that. Right? But I want us to take a look at some of the things that we do, things that we discount, some of the things that we maybe miss in ourselves. The first thing that I take from this is that the direction of the Lord can come from the most unlikely of places. Here's this great warrior, Naaman, who has just conquered all kinds of things, and there's this little servant girl. I can't help thinking how scared she must have been when she was raided and then brought into this warrior's household, hearing all kinds of things, and yet she has the confidence to tell her handmaiden and her boss, her master, say, listen, I just wish my master would go and see this prophet because he could cure him. It makes me think, what has this young girl seen? What has she known? So here's how my mind works when I'm reading the Bible. You see these little white spaces in between the letters? There's a lot of those fill-in-the-blank type things that my head starts going to. We don't know anything about this girl except that when Aram had gone on these raids, they brought back from the land of Israel a young girl who served Naaman's wife. That's what we know. But here's something that tells me that in the land of Israel, it was known who the prophets of God were. In the land of Israel, that heritage had been passed down. And so she has an opportunity to be able to impart that on someone that is outside of her land to be able to receive a healing. And so she says, if only my master would go to the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease. If he would go. She didn't say, listen, we could just call him up, you know, just shoot him a text, and maybe he'll come over, chisel out a message, you know. No, if he would go to him. See, sometimes on our part, there has to be an action step that we have to take. God's sitting there saying, listen, it's right here. What's our action step? Yes, Lord, I'll take that. And she says, if he'll only go. The most unthought of place for a healing of this great warrior is from a little servant girl. Reminds me of one of the greatest stories that we see in the New Testament of a young servant girl who the Holy Spirit comes and speaks to carry the Savior of the world. It can come from the most unlikely of places. Second thing. Ooh. Everybody lift up your feet. Our pride can rob us of the blessings of God. Whew. Whew. I might have been okay until now, right? And here's one of these things that pride is usually equated with guys. Ladies, you're not off the hook. All right? What Naaman had to deal with when this little servant girl said, he could have said, there is no way. Who does she think she is? But I'm thinking he was probably a pretty smart guy and he had heard from his wife. So he listened to his wife. And so he goes and he tells the king, and the king's like, yeah, man, this is my biggest warrior. Heck, if we can get him some help, yeah, let's go. Here we go, and I'm going to throw all this at it. But we see pride that comes from the king of Israel and his response. Who does he think I am? Am I God? Like I can heal him and kill him? He's just out to get something. Whew. How often are we like that when individuals come? Well, hey, you know what? I know that Mark prays. I know that he's a believer. And somebody walks up and asks for something, and what's the first thing that may pop into our mind? What do they want? What are they after? Maybe they're after a healing in the very thing that God has implanted in us to give to them. See, that's where our hearts have to be right. And it can't be this prideful reaction there. So we've got that side of it. Then we've got Naaman, who goes on to the prophet of the Lord. And when he's standing there and he's poised and ready to receive something and to receive the healing that he came from, just because the prophet doesn't come out and talk to him, he gets butt hurt. Second Kings 5:11-13. Look at this. But Naaman got angry and left, saying, I was telling myself, he will surely come out, stand and call on the name of Yahweh his God, and will have his hand over the spot and cure the skin disease. Aren't Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and left in a rage. That's the Rennie translation is what he ended up. He's hurt for no good reason, except it wasn't the way that he thought it should be. If God speaks in some of the most unlikely circumstances, do you not think that he might use some unconventional ways to accomplish the things that he wants? Oh, I can tell you, this one hurts, because when I got the word of the Lord 7-8 years ago, I knew that that was nothing I wanted to do. Here's the craziest thing about that. And why I said the statement about Naaman must have been pretty smart, he listened to his wife. In our story, a year prior to the Lord speaking to me, the Lord spoke to Rachel and told her that we would pastor. Didn't give the specifics of where or anything. And her response was, Lord, there is no way I am telling him. Because not only did she know, but everybody knew that is the last thing that I ever wanted. She even told our pastor, and they both said, nope, we're not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Because somebody had been pretty loud and boisterous about not wanting to do this. All right? And it was a year later that the Lord spoke to me. If they would have told me at that point in time that, I would have undressed him. I'd have acted like Naaman. What on earth are you thinking? How many times do I have to tell you this is not what I want to do? I'm taking my ball and going home. Right? That's what it sounds like. I can laugh now. At the time, I wouldn't have been laughing very much. I'd have acted. Ooh. But that's what Naaman is doing. Listen, he needs to come on my terms. Does he know who I am? But then what happens there in verse 13? But his servants approached him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more should you do it when he tells you, wash and be clean?" Basically, they're saying, who cares where it is? Who cares what it is? You have a chance to wash and be clean. You'll be whole. You'll be healed. Just go do it, for crying out loud. Sometimes we want people to jump through 800 different hoops, and they have to go through this step and this step and this step, and then go through this class and do this thing before we believe that they're clean enough to walk in and sit in our pews, sit in our chairs. Oh, well, God couldn't have you that way. You need to change this up. No! Listen, here's what it's going to take for you. You just have to say, listen, I can't do it on my own. It's not me. God, I need you. That's it. Right, Edwin? Yeah, I'm picking on Edwin this morning. Because here's the thing. If you'd hear some conversations that he and I have had over the years, you'd have thought we hated each other. But it's the exact opposite. Yeah, but it's the exact opposite. And sometimes we've got to break down and say, listen, even we got to get through our own pride. We got to have somebody that has the guts to stand up to us and say, Todd, knock that off, would you? Quit acting like a knucklehead and a truck driver and do what God said. Yeah, real conventional pastoring, isn't it? But sometimes you've got to get past that, because look what it says in Proverbs 16:8. Pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall. I asked that question earlier when we first did this, how many of us like to fall? Because when we really get at the heart of what this is, none of us want to fall like that. Because sometimes that fall is going to be so far that there's nobody going to be there that's going to help grab you and pull you out. Hear me well, that doesn't mean that you've fallen too far from God to grab you. Okay? But sometimes we do enough and we help to destroy ourselves and we fall into the schemes of the enemy, because all he wants to do is to steal, kill, and destroy. Destruction. Good. That's my point. That's what I was hoping for. Because when we begin to understand it, see, that's the thing, when we begin to understand the Word of God and we allow it to speak and it settles in our hearts, that's the reaction we get. The Word of God is what changes us. If we would stop trying to change people and point them to Jesus, point them to His Word is going to do all the changing that anybody ever needs. But we've got to have the guts to point them to Jesus and get our pride out of the way. It's not about what I say. Man, that pride one gets in the way a lot. In fact, is the heart and the root of a lot of things that we deal with. Lastly, obedience to God is more important than our comfort or gain, than out comfort and gain. Obedience to God is more important than our comfort or gain. Yeah. Obedience to God. You know, God and I argued a lot about planting this church. We really did. And you know what? I had to go through some pretty painful things around this to get me to this point. And there were some things and decisions that I had to make and how I responded to that. Am I going to be obedient to what God is saying, even though my head says something different, my emotions say something completely different, and it makes no earthly sense, or am I going to obey what God says? What could have Elijah done here, or Elisha? He could have taken that money and said, oh yeah, look at me. Here I am again. We just saw Aladdin yesterday, the movie, and Will Smith's character, you know, the genie. He's talking about the most powerful everything, and I'm just getting this picture that Elisha could have been like the genie. Yes, it's me. I am the all-powerful. You got healed. But he doesn't. Right? He says, no, this is God that's done this. What would have happened to Naaman had he followed through and not had somebody shake him a bit? What would have happened to him? He'd have went back home with that same skin disease, wouldn't he? Obedience to God, even though it didn't make sense, even though he didn't want to do it, he didn't want to dip in that dirty water, it makes more sense than our comfort or our gain. Look there in verse 10. Then Elisha sent him a messenger who said, go wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean. Not only was he just going to make him clean, but it said he's going to restore him. Sometimes we don't want the full restoration. We just want to get over this one problem. But God wants to restore everything. That's why he says that he wants to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And some of us think, well, I got this one off. But we've never allowed him to go down to the root of where that problem is. And he wants to restore everything in our lives. But we have to be obedient, and we have to step towards him, and we have to go do the things that he said so he can restore everything that has been given. And then verses 15 and 16. Naaman and his whole company went back to the man of God, stood before him, and declared, I know there is no God in the whole world except in Israel. Therefore, please accept a gift from your servant. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, I stand before him. I will not accept it. Naaman urged him to accept it, but he refused. Because obedience to God was much more than his personal gain. And he had a lot of money, guys. He had a lot. Gold and silver, everything. And there's times that we may be offered all kinds of things, but what are we going to stand for? What the Lord says and being obedient to him, or what would be our own gain? So this morning, I hope that we haven't just looked at this as some kid's story, but that we see that there is so much more. It's good for our kids, but it's also good for us. And so we have a question to answer. Will you choose to obey God today, even though it may not make earthly sense? You know, there's a flip side to that. When people have been in church as long as Todd has, and I have, you know, growing up in this, Alice, Faye, and Jeff, I've heard this said so many times that sometimes we get so earthly or heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. But we need to make sure that we choose to obey God today. I don't care how long we've walked with the Lord or how short we have. We need to choose today to obey God. Joshua's asked that. Who will you choose to serve today? And guys, there's an awful lot of things that are pulling and tugging on us. And you know, sometimes it's right here within our own hearts and our own emotions and our own circumstances. But no matter what it is, God is bigger than anything that we could ever encounter. And so if we will choose to obey God today, even when our head says, man, that is ludicrous, that's crazy, that's nuts. But God, I trust you. I see in your word where you promise to take care of your kids. And so I'm going to step out in faith today. I'm going to step out and dip in the Jordan, even though I've got these nice clear waters right next to me, because you've said this. What is it that the Lord's saying to you today? What is he asking of you today? It may just be, listen, I just want you to quit trying to do things on your own. I just want you to let me be there for you. Would you let me really be a part of your life? Let me restore the things that have been hurting. Yeah, but God, it's going to hurt. Yes, but I'm going to restore it. And it's going to be better than before, because it's going to be restored and clean, not just brushed off. It's not just a Band-Aid. I'm going all the way and doing major surgery so that you come out on the other end stronger and better. What is it that we'll allow this morning? We'll have Mark and Emily come, and we're just going to play a song. Let's do Come to the Altar again. And some of you are going to say, well, you're just going to wear that song out. Okay. I'm good with that. Because with an understanding like this, sometimes that's where we need to come to the altar. When they would come to the altar, they would bring something. It was that action step. But then also, when they placed it on the altar and it was burned up, those things were gone. They were left there. That's why it says it is finished. And so sometimes we need to just bring something to the altar and sit it there and allow it to be finished. Not sit there with our hands on it so we get burned with it, but take our hands off of it and let it get burned up to receive the healing that we need. Would you stand with me this morning? I want you to close your eyes. And I just want you to ask the Lord, what is it that you have for me? I think so many times we say, what is it, Lord, that you want from me? And we're afraid because we think that he's just this God that wants to take and take and take. And there's some times where he's going to ask us to give something. But I think far more times that there's things that he wants to give to us. And all we have to do is stick out our hand and open up our hearts. So this morning, would you ask him, Lord, what is it that you have for me? Father, as we ask that question, what is it that you have for us? Lord, I ask that we would be open to receive what it is that you have for us. Because God, you are a good God. And a good father doesn't give his son a serpent when he asks for a fish. But you know how to give the best of gifts. And so Father, this morning I ask that you would give your kids the good gifts that you promise. Father, I ask that there would be restoration that would begin to take place. Lord, and I ask that in the restoration that there would be a cleansing as well, that it would be a both and, not a one or the other. But God, that you would do what you do so best, and that you would love on your kids this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing this, whatever it is, if it's in your seat, if you need to come up, the altar is open. Would you just respond to the Lord this morning?
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the farewell, Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Your regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Come to the altar and we allow the Lord to really have his way with us. He'll do more than we could ever think or imagine. And the thing that will keep us from that spot usually has to do with ourselves and a fear and a worry. Well, you know what? He has an awful lot to say about those things right here. So if that's where you find yourself, would you open this up and allow him to speak to you? I never want us to do anything because, well, Pastor Randy said it, but I want you to do it because this is what the word of the Lord has said. This is what it says. This is why we do these things. Youth, I want you to have an amazing time this next week. I want you to really lean in and listen to what the Lord has to say, because I know he's going to do some pretty amazing things, and I want you to be ready to come back and tell us about it. We want to hear about it from you as well. Please do me a favor. Do not forget to pick up your kids. Please stick around for lunch. We got some good stuff. And as always, remember this, that God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Have a great week, guys.